Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Now, there's no quick fix for climate change, but increasingly scientists are looking at ways to slow it down. Recently, a group of researchers in the US published a paper recommending that more study go into the idea of solar geoengineering, in effect, blocking out the sun. Christopher Field from the Stanford Woods Institute for the Environment joins us now on News Talk. Good afternoon, Christopher.
Good afternoon.
Now, obviously, climate change is, there are many factors involved in climate change and the speed of climate change. But theoretically, and I'm stressing that word theoretically, solar geoengineering, what advantages might it give us?
There's no question that the climate crisis is serious, real, and needs to be tackled immediately. We really don't know whether or not solar geoengineering is a useful part of what you might think of as the portfolio of solutions, of response options, but it's promising enough that there are compelling reasons to explore it further, to try and figure out whether it's a good idea or a terrible idea.
Mm. And why might it be a good idea? Why is reflecting sunlight, how would that help?
We know from volcanic eruptions that have occurred in the past decades that injecting large amounts of small particles in the stratosphere, the upper part of the atmosphere, can cool the Earth's average temperature. The eruption of Mount Pinatubo in the early 1990s produced a global average cooling of about 0.5 degrees Celsius for a period of about a year. Solar geoengineering doesn't alter the amount of greenhouse gases in the atmosphere, and it doesn't decrease the impacts of the greenhouse gases like carbon dioxide on ocean acidification, but it might have the potential to lower the temperature at the same time we still have the greenhouse gases in the atmosphere. You can think of it as potentially allowing more time to work on decreasing greenhouse gas emissions and removing the greenhouse gases that are already in the atmosphere without having to deal with the very high punishing temperatures that those greenhouse gases can cause.
Right, okay, but we'd still have to decarbonize quite drastically.
There are many reasons that geoengineering would never be a substitute for decarbonization. The real question at this point is whether it might be a complement that would make it practical to move forward in a way where we encounter fewer of the damages from climate change.
Mm. Now, and the way of doing that, as I understand it, would be some sort of method of putting particles into the atmosphere. Now, of course, people listening will say, well, what about the what unintended consequences might there be? And what would have to be considered in that regard?
And that's exactly the question they should be asking. We know relatively little at this point about what the side effects of injecting particles in the atmosphere might be on the atmosphere, on ecosystems, on societies. And it's really critical if we are to consider these ideas that we learn more about the unintended consequences. That's basically why the report from the U.S. National Academy of Sciences recommends that there should be a broad-based research program to try and figure out what the side effects might or might not be.
Mm, because it might affect weather patterns, for instance.
An example is that at the same time, solar geoengineering might make it cooler overall. It might change the distribution of rainfall so that some places get more rainfall and others get less. The places that get less conceivably might have droughts. The places that have more conceivably might have floods.
Yeah. And on top of all that, if, say, it was studied enough and thought, no, we can do this, we can control that, whatever sort of particles are put into the atmosphere to help cool the planet, how do we get rid of them again when we don't need them anymore?
That also was a great question. When volcanoes inject large amounts of particles in the upper atmosphere, they mainly inject particles that turn into sulfur dioxide, and sulfur dioxide, we know, decreases the amount of stratospheric ozone, which is important for protecting us from ultraviolet radiation. But we also know that atmospheric processes basically scrub these sulfur dioxide particles from the stratosphere over a period of 1.5 to 2 years. And you could think of it as like rain removes dust from the atmosphere, that the atmospheric circulation eventually removes these things. We believe, and we have solid experimental evidence for that, but we don't have enough evidence to begin making policy decisions based on that idea.
Mm. And worth stressing again, what's being proposed here sounds like even if it was acted upon, it would just buy us some time rather than solve the problem.
Absolutely. The new report from the National Academy of Sciences recommends that there should be a research program to see whether or not these ideas should be a part of the response portfolio, not whether they should replace decarbonization.
Christopher Field is director of the Stanford Woods Institute for the Environment. Christopher, thank you very much.
I enjoyed talking with you. Thank you.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.